Well, our second speaker of the evening, Brother Bruce Crabtree, pastor of the Sovereign Grace Church in Newcastle, Indiana. We're so delighted, Bruce, that you're here. We hope you feel right at home. You come preach to us. Don't be in a hurry. We're not having anything to eat after all. We got plenty of time. Don't you be in a hurry. You preach the gospel the Lord laid on your heart.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you. I want you to turn to John chapter 6 with me, please. Brother Donnie just preached my confession of faith too, as well as yours. Thank you, Frank, for the kind invitation. It's good to see everybody. I just have one verse of scripture I want to read in John chapter 6 and verse 37. Very familiar passage. John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. My subject this afternoon is election. Mike asked me what I was going to preach on, and I told him election. I thought about entitling this, Why We Love Election. Why I love election and why you love election. We love the Scriptures. Why do we love the Scriptures? Because we love the author. And why do we love the teaching, the doctrine, the truth of particular redemption? Because we love our Redeemer. And why do we love effectual calling? It's more than just because it's taught in the Word. We love Him who calls us. So we love election. We love the doctrine of election because we love Him who chose us. And that's my subject this afternoon. I have just four simple points that I want to share with you. The first one is the fact of election. All that the Father giveth me. That's election. He giveth to me. A gift. That's election. The second point is this. The very first thing that election reveals is the Father. All that the Father giveth to me. Then the third thing is this. Election secures our coming to Christ to be saved by Him. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me. And then my fourth point will be this. Election secures the eternal and final salvation of all the elect. I will in no wise cast him out. For no reason at any time will I cast him out. So let's look first at the fact of election. The Lord Jesus says here that all that the Father giveth me, all that the Father giveth to me. Now we know from reading the Holy Scriptures that the Father has given to his Son everything. He's the possessor of everything. Not just as the creator of it, but as the gift from his Father. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto his hands. There is nothing seen, there is nothing unseen, but that Jesus Christ does not own it. It's his by gift. The sun will come up in the morning, that's his. The moon will come out tomorrow night and light the sky, that moon is his. Everything in the world is his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all his, isn't it? I sometimes wonder when Satan was tempting our Lord and he made this statement. He said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. I just wonder if he wasn't lying. Where did he get it? He didn't create anything. Trouble. I think he was lying. He may have stole some things. But to stand before the judge with stolen goods and brag that it's yours? All of this is mine. No, it belongs to Jesus Christ. God gave it to him, everything. All people are given to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Every man and boy and girl and woman belongs to Jesus Christ. Ask of me, his father said, I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You'll rule them with a rod of iron. You'll dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Jesus Christ is the possessor, the ruler, and the disposer of all men. Isn't he? We used to make that statement before the Lord saved us, and we learned better. What will you do with Jesus? That's not the question, is it? What will he do with us? He's not in my hands to dispose of. I'm in his. I'm his. You're his. All souls are mine. They belong to Jesus Christ. Spurgeon used to say that men will be damned by Christ or they'll be saved by Christ, because he owns all men. Everybody. God has given Jesus Christ as a gift to everybody. God has given to his son some men in particular to father his redemptive purpose. Some men are given to him in particular to father his redemptive purpose. One of the most solemn statements our Lord ever made was when he was praying to his father, all that you've given me, I've lost nothing but that one son of perdition. You know God gave Judas to his son to betray him? I think God gave Herod to Christ to mock him. I think he gave Pilate to him to crucify him. Everybody serves the redemptive purpose of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some men in particular don't. That's a fearful thought, isn't it? I don't want to be used and cast away as a reprobate, do you? Oh, Lord, my Redeemer. But our text deals with another group of people. When the Lord Jesus says here, all that the Father giveth me, this is those whom the Father has given to him to save. This is not all men. We know that. I'm not here preaching to the choir. I'm not going to stop and prove that all don't mean all. That would be silly. You'd laugh at me. Be fruitless. This is the all who will be saved. This is the all that God has given to his son, and given them to his son. His son secures their salvation. That's why he gave these to him. In other places, these are called the elect. They're called his sheep. They're called his chosen, vessels of mercy, children of promise. In other places, they're said to be chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Another place, he said, according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Everybody had sinned. Everybody sinned in our first father. We died. We were condemned in Adam. All of us were perishing. Left to ourselves, hell would have been our abode. But God gave a number that no man could number to his son. And his son has secured their salvation. That's the all that he's speaking of here. And you know the necessity of election? If he hadn't have chosen whom he did, we'd have all perished. I had a man to tell me one time, he said, you're just the dignity of man. He said, how can you do this to the dignity of men? I said, man, if you cared anything about the dignity of men, you'd get on your knees and give thanks to God for His electing grace. Without that, all of us perish. All of us are as Sodom, and all of us are made like unto Gomorrah. If He hadn't left a seed, a remnant according to the election of grace. These are the ones that Christ died for. I lay down my life for the sheep. These are the ones He shed His blood for. This is my blood, which is shed for many, for the remission of their sins. He bore their sins. He put their sins away and purged them away. The Father gave these to Him to save. This word here, giveth, as far as I know, it's the only time that it's used by our Lord in the present tense. Everywhere else that I know of, He uses, thou hast given me. But here He uses the word giveth. Have you ever thought of that? And some have taken that and abused it. You know how people are. They'll say, well, see, election is now. He's elected now. See, it said giveth. But why? I don't think this is a mistake. I want to know what it means, and I think it has a good meaning for you and me. When the Lord had given the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, they were on the east side of Canaan. Moses was ready to go up to the mountain and die. And here's what Moses said just before the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan. He said, the Lord thy God giveth thee this good land to possess it. He giveth it to you. He had already given it to them, had He not? He'd given it to Abraham, and therefore to them in Abraham. You know, He gave it to Isaac, gave it to Jacob. But here He said, He giveth you this land. He gave it to them before they ever were born. And then when it come time to possess it, He gave it to them again. I think that's the way election is. You know, we do this. We don't think much about it. I didn't have the opportunity to do it, but I bet some of you in here that your family's in order right well. And you have a daughter and you have some boy that wants to come and date her, and he dates her for a while, and he comes and asks you if he can have her hand in marriage. And you basically say, yeah, that's my daughter. You can have her. And they become engaged. You gave her to him an engagement. But when it comes to actual marriage, you stand there by, and who gives this man to be married? I gave her. You already gave her. I'm giving her now. I think that has something to do with what our Lord said. I remember Scott saying one time, it was so funny. Scott could say some funny things. Good. He's talking about being married, and he said, you know, when I was standing there with Martha, and then Martha, he said, the preacher said, Will you have this woman? You take this woman. He said, man, would I? He said, man, you better bet I will. He said, boy, he said, she looked so good I could have eat her. And 2 years later, I wish I had, he said. That's what he told, bless his heart. He didn't mean that, but he told that. If anybody need to be eaten, it'd be some of us men, ladies, not you, lady. But you know what gifts does? How many new things have been given to us? And it's not long, it wears out. It waxes old. The newness is gone. It's not attractive anymore. But I think what the Lord Jesus is saying here, this is a gift of my Father. Though He has given it to me before the world, He gives it again. It's always fresh. It's always attractive in my eyes. That's what he's saying. I got a little knife that my dad gave to me, and I remember when he gave it to me. My dad's been gone for a while, a little case double X knife. It ain't worth anything, hardly. But you know, I wouldn't take nothing for that knife. Sometime in my study, I'll get it out, and I'll look at it, open it up, clean it. And my dad gave me that. I wouldn't take nothing. I mean nothing. You can't buy that knife. That's a gift from my Father. And when the Lord Jesus looked at His chosen people, it's as though the Father has just given Him those people. They're never wore out. The gift will never grow old and wax old. It's fresh. It's attractive. These are those that the Father's given me. So he could say, the Father hath given those to me. And he could say, he gives me now. And someday around the throne, when they're all standing there with him, he'll say, Father, behold I and the children whom thou hast given me. So that's the fact of election. It's settled. It's done. There'll be no adding to the number. There'll be no subtraction from the number. It took place before the foundation of the world. God gave to his Son a number that no man can number out of Adam's race to save them, to secure their salvation. That's election. That's the factor. What's the first thing election reveals? And I love this. It reveals the Father. All that the Father giveth to me. The Lord Jesus seems to take us back in eternity. And he opens the heart of God to us. Opens the very heart of God to us. And reveals God to us. And how does he reveal him to us? Father. The Father. The Father. We can have some hard thoughts about God and his sovereignty, can't we? Oh, man, thank. When you talk about the sovereignty of God to some man, they get it in their heads that you're talking about a cold. You're talking about an inconsiderate. You're talking about some despot that just rules arbitrarily just because he wills without any understanding, without any wisdom, without any good and holy and wise aim and ends. No. We're talking about the Father. This is the Father. Luther said he hated God. And he said, the reason I hated God, he said, I thought that God was just up there in heaven, looking down on me, waiting and watching for me to sin so he could accuse me and finally damn me. And he said, I hated him for it. I tell you, I have some hard thoughts. Do you ever have any hard thoughts? When he's taking things from you? It's tough to face it sometimes, isn't it? And I know some of these things is to humble us, but you think of the sovereignty of God, how high he is, then you're so low and you're going through all of this. Why? Why are you putting me through all this? I know some of these things are to humble us, but I tell you, some of these things, we just judge God harshly. I remember you saying one time, don't judge God by his providence. Judge his providence by him. And who is he? He's a Father. The first time we hear him mentioned, he's the Father. He's the Father. Every step of the way, from back in eternity, go back in eternity, and what do you find of God? Dear child of God, you find him thinking about you. You find him secure in your eternal happiness. You find in him purposing everything for your good before you were ever born. Giving you to his Son for his Son to save you. Oh, what a Father. Oh, what a Father. Not out of necessity, he owed you nothing. And you can't add anything to him. But because he's a gracious and merciful and loving Father. Every step of the way, the Son of God came down from heaven to reveal the Father to us. He truly came to reconcile us to the Father. Not just by his blood to atone for our sins and make reconciliation for our sins, but he came to reconcile us to God in our thoughts. What kind of God is God? What kind of God is God? He's our Father. That's the first thing we learn about him. He's our Father. Disciples came to the Lord Jesus one day and he was praying. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he put a word in their mouth and sent them off to pray. And you know what it was? Our Father. Our Father. How many times have you got on your knees, walking somewhere out in the woods, praying, driving down the road, and you had no words to say, but you had this, my Father. And how much strength and how much joy and how much peace and consolation have you found in that one word, my Father. My Father. Every step of the way, the Lord Jesus come to reveal the Father to us. He said, back before time, who was it that chose you? It was the Father. And He said, now you must come to me, but you won't and you can't. But listen, the Father's going to draw you. It's my Father that's going to draw you. And then when He sends the Spirit of His Son to our hearts in regeneration, what does He say? Father. Father, every step of the way, Jesus come to reveal the Father to us. The Father. This is the way I can face this world. This is the way we face this world. This world that sometimes turns us upside down. We face it this way. He that clothes the lilies is my Father. He that feeds the fowls is my Father. I'm not afraid. I'm not anxious. He's my Father. When I come down to die, I won't be afraid of death. He's my Father. Frank was telling me about Dale's funeral and what he said there over the grave. He said of all the emotions that we're feeling, and I can't imagine, but he said there's one emotion we're not feeling, and that's fear. That's fear. Why? We have a Father. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Father, Father. We love election because way back there is where the Father is revealed to us, first and foremost. Thirdly, election secures all the elect come into Christ to be saved by. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Election is not salvation, but it secures our salvation. A man asked me one time, he was a pilgrim holiness, and I was standing out in his driveway, and he asked me a question. He said that, what if one of the non-elect came to Christ? Would he be turned out? And, you know, I'd answer him the same way you'd answer him. But after that, I thought, I wish I'd answered him this way. I really don't know. Because it's never happened. It's never happened and never will happen. No man can come to me, and no man will come to me, except my Father, which sent me, draw him. And I think this message here in chapter 6, boy, proves that as clear as any other message in all the Bible. Here was the gospel set forth as clearly and as freely and by the greatest preacher that ever lived. And what was the conclusion of this message? They went away and walked with him no more at all. And why did they go away? The Lord Jesus put his finger on it, didn't he? You've seen me and you don't believe me. You've heard me. You've heard me preach and you don't believe. He knew from the beginning who believed and who didn't. Unbelief, I tell you, is a terrible sin, isn't it? Unbelief. There's been a lot of great sinners come to Christ. I mean come to Christ, fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, murderers. But there's never been one unbeliever that came to Christ. That's what will keep you from Christ. That's what kept these men from the Lord Jesus Christ. These poor Jews. Poor Jews. I mean, they were poor Jews. Under bondage to the Romans. Their country was full of devils. Look how a little country, and the Lord Jesus, every day of his ministry, was casting out devils out of somebody. They were in poverty. They couldn't even afford a sack lunch. He had to feed just 5,000 of them just before he began to preach this message. What a mess they were in. And they were so proud and self-righteous. They said, what can we do that we might work the works of God? What can we do? What can we do? You poor, hell-deserving, in bondage to Satan's sin. What can we do? Tell us what we can do. I noticed as I read this and counted the time that the Lord Jesus mentioned himself under I, me, and my over 60 times in this little short message. He mentioned himself over 60 times. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. I came down to do the Father's will. It is my flesh that's broken and my blood that's shed. It's my flesh that's meat. It's my blood that's drink. I am the one who came down to give life. He told them all of these things. I am the one that's going to raise the dead. The doing is mine. That's what he was saying. He took all the doing out of their hands and put it in his own hands. The doing is mine, he said. And what was their conclusion about that? This is a hard saying. Who in the world can understand that? Who can understand that all the doing's been taken away from me and put upon someone else? I can't understand that. Unbelief can't. Blind unbelief is sure to err and count his work in vain. I remember when I was lost, and every time I thought about being saved, it was always doing. I never thought about coming to Christ. I never thought about him finishing the work. What can I do? I need to pray harder. I need to read my Bible more. I need to get in church. That's the way we're down south. It's getting in church. I need to be more faithful. If I can do that. Do. We had a little saying when the kids down home used the bathroom. They called it do-do. And I know why now. Do. I wish somebody had set me down and got my attention and read James Proctor's song to me and looked at me right in the eye and read this song to me. Nothing, neither great or small, nothing, sin or no. Jesus did it all, long ago. It is finished, yes indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need, tell me, is it not? When he from his lofty throne stooped to do and die, everything was fully done. Hearken to his cry, it is finished. It's finished. Weary, working, burdened one, wherefore toil you so? Cease your doing, all is done, long, long ago. Till to Jesus' work you cling, by living faith, doing is a deadly thing. Doing is and ends in death. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet, stand in him alone, gloriously complete. But here's the thing. No sinner will do that until God teaches him to do it. He cannot and he will not until God gives him grace to believe. Then he'll cast all of his deadly doings down. He'll burn them at his feet and he'll rejoice to think, I'm accepted in another. I'm complete in another. And brothers and sisters, that's a miracle. Coming to Jesus Christ is a miracle of grace. And election secures that miracle for every elect soul. Why did you come? The Father chose you. Why did you come? The Father drew you. He taught you your need of Christ. And he never quit drawing you until you found yourself believing in his Son. I know nothing. In this point in my life, I thought I'd come to this years ago. I guess we continually come to this. But I know of nothing right now in my life, not only as a preacher, but as a dad, as a grandfather. I know of nothing that's more comforting right now and encouraging to me than to remember what I'm just talking to you about. Our community, my family, is hostile to Jesus Christ. Their hearts are filled with unbelief. They're in bondage to Satan. You can't even talk to them. Have you ever seen such a day? But listen, all that the Father gives to me shall come to me. And that's never changed. And if you're here tonight and you've never come to Christ and He's given you to His Son, then you're coming. You're coming. And you're coming willingly. You're coming joyfully. And you're coming bowing to Him and believing on His blessed name. My last point is this. Election secures the final and eternal salvation of every elect soul. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise. Now this is not limited to our initial coming. I'll never cast him out. For no reason will I cast him out. At any time will I cast him out. Not in this life, not in death, or surely in the life to come. I will never cast him out. So election not only secures the elect's coming to Christ, it secures their eternal salvation by Jesus Christ. I know and you know that the Bible teaches us that we must persevere. We must persevere to the end. I used to preach on perseverance of the saints. Perseverance is perseverance. Every one of us has a race to run. You've got to run. You don't have any choice. You come to Christ by faith. You live upon Him by faith, and you'll die in the faith. You must hold the beginning of your confidence firm unto the end. We believe that, don't we? It's not so much eternal security, the perseverance of the saints. We endure. We know the necessity of that. But you know, the Lord Jesus here in verse 39, He just bypasses that. Not because it's not so, but He's going to teach us a lesson. Look what He says in verse 39. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You know what He's saying? He's saying the very fact that my Father elected you, the very fact that He gave you to me, that secured your eternal happiness. Boy, if a man can make his election sure, make your calling sure, and when you made your calling sure, you don't have to doubt your election. And then when you don't doubt your election, oh, you can live in the joy and the assurance that your final and eternal salvation has been secured. Just every once in a while, it dawns upon me, just like it falls into my mind for just a thought. I'm saved. I'm really saved. It's not just that the Lord has saved me and He's going to save me, but I'm saved. And for just a thought, it lifts me up out of my sorrow and my gloom and above this sorry world. And I seem to sit for just a minute in some kind of a heavenly place. And then I fall back down into this miserable unbelief and the present world and back down into my fiction. The atheists tell us that this is all fiction, don't they? The gospel's a fiction. God's a fiction. He's just, you guys got your imagination all messed up with God. That's just fiction. Christ is fiction. Life is a fiction. Heaven's a fiction. No, that's reality. I tell you what the fiction is for the ungodly. This life is all there is. This life is the best there is. Things are going to be better for me after this life. That's fiction.
That's fiction.
And you know believers live in fiction too, don't we? You ever live in this? I don't think I'm going to make it. That's fiction. I think these corruptions that I'm struggling against is an indication that I'm going to finally be cast out. That's fiction. I don't think I'm going to be able to continue to believe. That's fiction. Here's the reality. All that the Father has given me, I will lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That's reality, is it not? This is why we love election. God bless His word. Thank you, friend.
Oh, that was so refreshing, so good, wasn't it? This is something I say from this pulpit so many times. If there's someone here, and there is, that doesn't know the Lord, I wish I could spare you from making the mistake that I made for years and years and years. Don't waste one more second of your life trying to figure out if you're one of God's elect. Election's a fact. It's obvious. Don't spend one more second trying to figure out if you're one of God's elect. Think, well, if I'm one of the elect, then are you a sinner? Come to Christ. The only way you'll ever know you're one of God's elect, you come to Christ. Someone asked me, am I one of the elect? Well, I don't know. You come to Christ, we'll find out. That's when we'll know. Come to Him. Right now. Come to him. All right. Now we're going to sing a song. John, after we sing this song, would you come lead us in prayer to close this song? And we're not going to have anything to eat or anything tonight. Just let everybody go home. You can stay and visit all you want. We'll lock up and everybody's ready to leave. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Brothers Don Fortner and Todd Knight will be preaching this very same gospel to us. Let's stand and sing. Mike, what number we got?
51. Number 51.
Our Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight, for allowing us to come into your presence, for giving us an understanding of the gospel. Thank you for these men, your servants, whom you sent this way tonight. Thank you for the messages. Give us an ear to hear, Father.
Help us, Father, to give unto you the glory due unto your name. Thank you for Jesus Christ. All that we have in Him, all that we need to stand in your presence, you've given us in Him. Thank you. Enable Don and Todd to preach to us in the morning. Lord, no man is sufficient for these things. No man is sufficient to handle matters of eternity. Help them and help us to listen. In Christ's name we pray.